Yes, go ahead. Thank you. Okay, so I'll give you the easiest Shneimetra test you'll ever receive. The topic of the first 34 Pesukim in Parshas Achrei-Mos is Yom Kippur, right? It starts with Yavod of Yom Kippurim, right? That's a, you got to catch up on Shneim Mikra if you're not you know that much yet, right? So the topic of the first 34 Pesukim is Yavod and Yom Kippurim. There's something very unusual about the beginning of the Parsha, though. The Pesukim describe the Avoda in detail, and it takes until Pasuk Chaf Tes till the Pasuk indicates to us when any of this is happening. It doesn't say Yom Kippur until you're 29 Pesukim into the story. No, Hello Davar. How does it leave out the most important part? It should have started with, on the 10th day of the month of Tishrei, you're going to have this day called Yom Kippur, and it's a holy day, and here's what happens. Here's what the Kohen Gadol does on Yom Kippur. It doesn't even mention it till the end. Why would the Torah hide that detail until Pasuk Chaf Tes? Secondly, the whole parsha is framed as occurring acharei mos, right after the deaths of the sons of Aaron HaKohen. And the Medrash tells us that Bnei Aaron were mesu b'shvil dalet dvarim. There are many other suggestions in addition to the four that are mentioned in the Medrash, that Bnei Aaron died for four different sins, four different potential reasons. First, that they entered the Fnei V'lefnim. Second, that they brought a carbon that they weren't supposed to bring. The third, that they brought an Eish Zara, meaning a fire from somewhere that they weren't supposed to bring a fire from. And then finally, lo natlu eitza zemizem, that they didn't seek advice one from the other. So, whenever you have a list and there's one that clearly stands out on the list, someone sent me Rav Moshe Feinstein's Wikipedia page. It says that Rav Moshe Feinstein's Talmidim are Rav Ruvi Feinstein, Rav David Feinstein, Rav Shmuel First, Rav Moshe David Tender, whatever goes through, Rav Frank Greenblatt, and then it says Jackie Mason, right? One of these is not like the rest, right? Meaning when you have a list. So which of these averus is not like the rest? They have that they went in the avoda to a place they weren't supposed to go. They brought a carbon they weren't supposed to bring. They brought an ash they weren't supposed to bring, and they didn't seek advice from each other. Well, one of them has nothing to do with hakrava, nothing to do with karmanos, nothing to do with anything avoda. It's just they didn't seek advice from each other. How does that make it onto the list? Do you understand why entering the kodesh hakodesh and bringing a carbon they're not instructed to bring? That's reason to be chayiv misa. Lo not weitz as Ami said, doesn't even seem so bad. Is it a reason to be chayiv misa? Third, Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs, Zichron Levracha, points out that a lot of holidays have changed over time, right? Pesach certainly, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, is very different than Pesach when we do have a Beis HaMikdash. More so than Pesach, Erev Pesach when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash is very different than Erev Pesach when we do have a Beis HaMikdash. But probably there's never been a bigger shift in a holiday from one year to the next than the very first Yom Kippur to the second Yom Kippur. And the whole nature of how the day is carried out. The first Yom Kippur is a culmination of Moshe Rabbeinu's efforts to secure Mechila and Kapara for Klal Yisrael in the aftermath of the Chedei Hegel. So he comes down with the second Luchos and he's able to confirm for us that we are indeed forgiven. So Moshe was doing whatever he could to defend the people. There was no script that he was following. There were no protocols. There were no rules. There's no you do this then, and then you do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, and then you do that, and then you do that. There was no, it was just whatever he could do. And Chazal say he spoke with chutzpah klapi shemayim. He spoke with chutzpah takar shbaruch. Mecheni na misifrecha. Why be out of your sefer? Race me from your sefer. 1 year later, Aaron is leading the avoda on Yom Kippur. Total obedience. Total humility. Following an exact prescription of how to achieve forgiveness. So what do we make of that change from 1 year to the next? So again, three questions. Number one, why no mention in the first 28 psukim that this is talking about Yom Kippur? Number two, well, not the way it's a semi-sad. That's really so bad. And number three, what do we make of the change in the way Yom Kippur is celebrated? So one of the most common human failings is the inability that most people have to admit mistakes. People justify mistakes, we deny we ever made the mistakes, we blame other people for the mistakes, we say, oh, with the information I had then, it was really the right decision, but now it's just that new information came to light, whatever. They say that statistically 400,000 deaths occur each year in the United States based on medical error. right? So 400,000 people that there wasn't really a mistake. It was obviously people make mistakes. It's just we have to be able to admit it. Financial crisis throw the entire world economy into chaos because people make an incorrect assessment about, you know, how much leveraging of debt is sustainable, right? When the mortgage crisis, and like, so people make these mistakes. They make these terrible, terrible judgment errors. So we deny it's a mistake. We argue, give me information. Someone else's fault. You know, a couple of summers ago in Camp Kaylee, one of the boys, who's one of the chashuva guys in our base medrash now, asked Rav David Cohn Shlita, whether the mitzvah of Hochech Tochech still applies nowadays. So some of the Camp Kaylee veterans remember this. So David Cohn's response was, Apikiris! How can you say a mitzvah of the Torah doesn't apply nowadays? So it was a great bit for the rest of the summer that the guy's an Apikiris. But he's not. It's a good question. Meaning, what's he asking? What's he why was he asking whether, of all mitzvahs, he wasn't asking, does Shabbos still apply nowadays? He didn't ask, does Tzitzis not apply? You know, he was asking about Ochev Tochev. Why was he asking about that? Because the Gemara says that it's hard to know if there's anybody nowadays who knows how to give Tochecha, who can give effective Tochecha. Giving Tochecha presumes that the person you're speaking to is open enough to receive the Tochecha. And most people are too prideful to do that. Most people are not so good at admitting mistakes. It's a fair question. Rav Nosson Rachfogel once explained that the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make Chava out of a rib of Adam, a portion of his own body, was that if part of Chava's role is going to be that she's going to correct his mistakes, the only way he's going to be Mekabel is if it comes from him. He'll never be Mekabel from an outside source that he made a mistake. So she had to come from him, because that's the only way. And it still doesn't work, right? Very often, still not Mekabel. Rav Yerucham Olshin Shlita points out that if you were to speak to people who learned by Rav Aaron Cutler's Zitzal, they would tell you that he would always discuss decisions with the Bachrim. Like he would talk to Rav Yitzhak Figelstock, was a Rashid in Long Beach, was a young Bachur in Lakewood by Rav Aaron. Rav Aaron referred to him as a Pella Yoet, because he would always consult with him, because he was, you know, a very smart 17-year-old. So he would consult with him, he would talk to him. Even though Rav Aaron was Rav Aaron. Because taking advice from other people is a tacit acknowledgement that our own judgment might be flawed and that we need other people's help and that we're prone to make mistakes. The Gemara Masechta Sota talks about a lot of the suffering of the Sota comes not only from her Aveira, but from the fact that she's unable to acknowledge her Aveira. So a lot of Sota, a lot of the procedure of a Sota is to do whatever we can to make it easier for her to admit her mistake. We're on Sota Daf Ches says that one of the reasons we're not Mashke Shtei Sotos Ka'achas, we don't take care of two Sotas at the same time, is which would be more efficient if you happen to have two, right? Is because we don't want a guilty Sota to find the courage to deny her wrongdoing by seeing her friend not admitting. If she's not going to admit, I'm not going to admit, it's going to be embarrassing. So we tell her, no, listen, mistakes happen. We understand that people make a mistake. And we tell her we understand what drives mistakes. Harbe yayinosa, harbe chaveir rayimosa. Wine causes a lot of mistakes. Having a bad chevra causes a lot of mistakes. Being young and immature causes a lot of mistakes. So we tell her stories of the heroes of Jewish history who made mistakes. Reuven, Yehuda, they both admitted their sins. And that's what made them special. It's such a difficult thing for people to do. And with that in mind, we can understand a little bit about the beginning of the parasha. Failing to take advice from each other is listed among the averos for which Nadav and Avihu were killed, not because it's so bad that you're chayiv misa for it, but it's something that can bring one to do things that will be mechayiv misa. You could kill 400,000 patients. Right? I mean, it's not one doctor, but it's if a person does, it's not no talet, so a person thinks that they know everything. There was a, you know, when you donate a kidney, so they give you the statistics of how many people die from donating a kidney. So it's very, very few. And if someone were to die donating a kidney, they would shut down the transplant unit in that hospital for at least 2 years to reassess everything, because something would be like someone dying from getting his tonsils out. Right? It would be like something went terribly, terribly wrong. So the mice that I heard about a particular hospital that they had to shut down the unit for 2 years because someone died was that there was a clamp that the surgeon used that had been recalled. that you weren't allowed to use anymore. They found that it wasn't safe. And this particular surgeon said, that's if you don't know how to really use it. But I'm, I'm a big chacham, I'm a big mumcha, I know how to use it. And that's the clamp I'm comfortable with. That's what I mean. It's so much about gaifa, about not being able to be sholeitza, and even when it's staring you in the face. So the nadav and aviyu, not being sholeitza from each other, it's not that that's the avera, it's that that's often the cause for the avera. Moshe Rabbeinu spent the first Yom Kippur in Jewish history interceding with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on behalf of the people. But it didn't lead to like this massive mood of tshuva. There were dramatic acts, chutzpah klapei maila, and he got the kapara that he needed. But Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu both realized that's not going to be a sustainable model. The people are going to sin again. And unless they learn to say, chatasi, avisi, fashati, here's my karban, here's my dam, that's roy, this is the dam that should be my dam, and this is to become accountable for their sins, the story is never going to end well. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts into place Aaron's activities on Yom HaKippurim, which involves so many viduyin and kapara and a search for spiritual purification, an acknowledgement of the sins and the failures of the people. And it starts with the Kohen Gadol acknowledging his own shortcomings. Maybe the reason the Torah waits until Pasuk Chavtes to mention that the Avodah we're talking about is on Yom HaKippurim is that the goal of Yom HaKippurim is not for it to be an anomaly, but for that mood of repentance and that mood of acknowledgement of our shortcomings, it should be with us the rest of the year also. You know, we have Tachnun, not Chodesh Nisan, but we have Tachnun, we have Vidui, we have Slichos. We have a culture of people who are comfortable saying, I got it wrong. And that's a critical, critical, critical midah. It's a midah that's critical for marriage. It's a midah that's critical for all Ben Adon Chaveru, because you'll notice that all the midahs that are critical for marriage happen to be just Ben Adon Chaveru midahs in general. And maybe that's part of the limud that we take from the beginning of the parasha. I remember last year. It was right when Rabbi Wieder's podcast came out on Kosher Money, you know, when they interviewed Rabbi Jeremy Wieder, and he was talking about, he was on a, you know, I don't know what you call it, he was talking about this for a while, he was getting very worked up on this topic, about our relationship with Gashmis, and how dangerous it is. And he said some things that, you know, make you uncomfortable because that's what he was intending to do, right? Meaning, to really reassess your relationship with Gashmius. And it's very easy for I could say as a rabbi, I talk about that all the time, right? What do you need fancy cars for? What do you need fancy watches for? What do you need fancy home expansions for? You know why? Because I can't really afford a fancy car or a fancy watch or a fancy home expansion. I have yet to meet the person who can afford it and doesn't do it. Meaning, it's like sometimes you get musr, and you just have to like look at yourself a little bit and say like, am I living up to the messages that I try to give? You know, that a person has to be. You know, we're not all supposed to be Rav Shechter where we give 50% of our money to tzedakah. Rabbi Reisman said he never had a break front in his home. You know what a break front is? Like the cabinet where they display the silver. So he said he never got that in his home because he and his wife decided when they got married, it's a luxury they just don't need. I never even thought of it as a luxury. I just thought it's a thing that houses have. I don't know. It's a luxury that they just don't need. But, you know, maybe when we hear like moving musr, to take something, to always look inside of ourselves. We're called Yehudim, because Yehuda was somebody who was comfortable saying vidui. And that same midah is critical for our own development as Ovdei Hashem, and especially for our own development as leaders within Klal Yisrael, to be able to acknowledge one thing. I spoke to Rav Shechter just sort of one last night. So I had a shayla that came up over Yantav. I put it on the chat even. A shayla with someone stuck, a housekeeper stuck a chametz stick of fork into a roast, right? And Shaila was, is the roast kosher on Pesach? And the answer is, for an Ashkenazi, no. And then the next Shaila was, can I freeze the roast and eat it after Pesach? So I told the person, yes. Rabbi Shai Shechter spoke in my shul, gave a women's share on Shabbos Chol Hamoed. I said, I had an interesting Shaila yesterday. I told him the Shaila. So Sunday, I'm on the phone with someone. Someone just lost their mother, so I was on the phone with him. And I see Rabbi Shai Shechter is calling me. So I text him, I'm on the phone, someone just died, I'll call you back. He said, it's not me, it's my father. I said, yeah, but someone just died. You know, like, I mean, I can't really get off the phone. So I'll call you back. It's not funny that someone died, but I'll call you back. So why was Rav Shechter calling? Because Shai had mentioned the Shiloh to his father. And Rav Shechter thought that you cannot have the roast after Pesach. That it's Pesach, if we're the Ashkenazim or Machmir, that we treat it like chametz, you got to get rid of it. So he said, you know, because Rav Rishonim hold that it's actually kosher, like the Sfarim, like the Mechaber, so maybe the rabbi doesn't, he kept saying the rabbi, it was me, so maybe the rabbi who made a mistake, you know, doesn't have to call back and tell the Balabas that he made the mistake because of Zilusa de Beidin, that they're not going to have covered for the rabbi anymore. So I said, Rabbi, I'm not so sure they're not going to have covered for the rabbi anymore. I think they'll have more covered for the rabbi. I think they'll appreciate his integrity. And he told the Maisa with Reb Chaim when he tried out for a position in Balazim that he stopped the shir, you know, because someone asked Akasha and he said, my holy son is wrong. And stop the shir, it's Prabha, instead of coming up with you know, some spin of, you know, make the guy's head spin who asked the question, so that he didn't, you know, he was smart enough to do that. You know, lesser people in our claim do that when they have a question that they can't answer. You know? And just the integrity, he said, so if a person will appreciate such integrity, that the person can admit, that the rabbi can admit that he made a mistake, then he probably should call him back and say that he made a mistake. I find that it's always appreciated. It's always appreciated. Because it's so rare. It's a mitzvah that's so rare. So it's a mitzvah that I think is one of the messages that emerges from the beginning of this week's parsha.